Chapter 11. Mandela was a sellout. In October 2015, after the government announced a fee increase for the next academic year, university students, overcome by hopelessness and rage, launched a series of protests to highlight the lack of access to and financial exclusion from quality education. The protests snowballed into the politically powerful #FeesMustFall movement, and suddenly students were uttering four words that shook their parents to the core. Mandela was a sellout. Their anger was aimed not at the then president, the scandal-ridden Jacob Zuma, but at the father of democracy. Many of these Gen Z born-free students grew up with the hope that they would be liberated, but going to university in an attempt to climb out of poverty left them deeper in debt and despair. They faced a bleak future. Even if they clawed their way out of fee hell and obtained a degree, their qualification didn't mean much in a battered economy with frightening levels of unemployment. They felt they got the short end of the stick in the negotiations that ended apartheid. For this generation, the South African fairy tale ended before it even started, when Mandela sold out black people. While they achieved political freedom, the wealth, or most of it, remained in white hands. Mandela, they argued, was a traitor to the cause of transformation. Who cared about statues, bridges, schools, municipalities, universities, streets, banknotes, and buildings bearing his name, when the compromises he made with the oppressor meant real liberation remained out of reach? It's difficult to argue with the new generation, who grew up on their parents' hope of a better life, but ended up deeply disillusioned with post-apartheid realities. And it's true that the pace of change has been slow, and South Africa is one of the most unequal countries on the planet. Their main gripe is that Mandela struck a devil's bargain with the National Party. Social and political segregation would end, but whites would keep their hands on the economy and, thanks to the property clause in the Constitution, the land. At the time, ANC supporters saw it as a necessary compromise, but 30 years later, many of their children view it as a compromise too far. Because of that deal, South Africa has an apartheid hangover, and whites still have greater access to opportunities. It's true that much was left unfinished in those early 1990s negotiations. The talks may have ushered in democracy, but they only put a plaster on racial divisions and didn't adequately address inequality. Racial tension erupts at the drop of a slur, and after every incident, social media is clogged with people furious with Mandela for choosing the carrot of reconciliation instead of the stick of retribution. Nevertheless, those who say Mandela was a sellout do so while looking through today's prism, without comprehending the political reality of what was happening then. The argument lacks nuance and a three-dimensional understanding of history. Mandela did not roll over. He stood his ground and clashed often with the NP leader F.W. de Klerk at the difficult Convention for a Democratic South Africa talks. He suspended negotiations after the 1992 Boipatong massacre, in which security forces collaborated with hostel dwellers and killed more than 40 residents of the township. Mandela didn't betray the dreams of young black South Africans. Corruption did. The government officials and politically connected businessmen who looted state coffers and became staggeringly wealthy from corrupt tenders and crooked deals at the expense of the poor derailed Mandela's vision and betrayed his ideals.